This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly, pleased to be back with you after a couple of weeks off. I hope you enjoyed the classical music you heard during this time slot on most of those days I've been gone, and also some of the highlights shows that we aired for your entertainment in case you missed some things when they were first broadcast, I think in 2009 they all were from. And we're back with a live show in our studio today from Reverend Robert, who plays pre-war blues primarily. He's got some gigs in throughout Illinois and even in St. Louis coming up, and one in Decatur in a week, and lots of other things that he has going on now and then. We'll hear him play live and hear about his music making on the show today. Support for our program comes in part from World Harvest International and Gourmet Foods on the corner of 6th and University in Champaign, providing Champaign-Urbana with an international selection of chocolates, cheeses, oils, balsamic vinegar, jams, spices, barbecue sauces, and more. World Harvest invites you to join them in supporting public radio. That was a live performance by the Vanguard Jazz Orchestra from Monday Night Live at the Village, the name of the tune, at the Village Vanguard from 2008. A composition of Thad Jones called Mornin' Reverend, which I found on my shelf just really quite serendipitously, I guess, because our guest on today's Live and Local, live in our studio, is Reverend Robert, who is from Charleston, and he's got, he performs semi-regularly throughout town. I mean, around our listening area. I found him through the Decatur Blues Society, which was actually something that was new to me. I think I probably discovered it for myself maybe about 3 weeks ago. Well, I've been gone for a couple of weeks, so about a month ago. And it's a pretty good source of, actually a terrific source of blues performances, specifically in Decatur, but also outside. And you can look up some of the artists there. And I found Reverend Robert on there. And we brought him in today. And so it's a great day back for me anyway, because we get to hear some live blues. Thanks for coming in. All
right. Thank you, Kevin.
So obvious first question, why Reverend Robert? Are you actually a reverend?
Well, no, not really. It started as a joke almost when I was a teenager. I had my first blues band, and we used to go to a club and play their open mic night. And every time we would, every week, we'd have some different name. And one night we were Reverend Robert and the Raging Caucasians. And the club owner come up at the end of the night and asked if we'd play there that weekend. And it stuck.
Does anybody give you grief for that?
No, not really.
I mean, partly the reason I asked is I mentioned that we were, you know, to some friends of mine that you were going to be on here. And they sort of looked askance, like, what kind of reverend is he? I said, well, I don't know. We're going to find out. And you'd have heard, you know, they're like, there's Dr. John. Dr. John is probably not a doctor, but there's always stories about how these guys get their name. Duke Ellington was no duke, but he became the duke. So I guess there's always a story, and then eventually people forget it. You remember, but other people won't know.
Right. Well, and it's funny. I was just talking to a gentleman down in Mississippi where I'm going to be playing in March, and I talked to him on the phone and got the gig by recommendation. And afterwards, he said, well, he goes, I'm just booking you because you were recommended by this guy. He said, now, Reverend Robert, I'm assuming you play blues then. So so there is some kind of connection. There are some old blues players that
are reverend that something or another.
Yes. Yeah.
Any idea where that might have come from? I mean, how it got to be a tradition of sorts?
Well, I believe a lot of them were actually reverends, and a lot of them went back and forth, doing gospel and preaching, and then they would do blues. And, of course, back then, you weren't supposed to do both at the same time. But so a lot of them would release gospel tunes under different names than the name they used for their blues recordings. And so there were a lot of them that were both. And another part of that was for a blind man back then, you know, you basically were left with two jobs. You could either be a preacher or a musician. Mm-hmm. And so everybody always wonders why there were so many blind guys playing blues and stuff back then. But that was one of the only occupations you could have.
I never would have thought about that. I guess, yeah, you can preach to anybody. You don't need to be able to see them. They just need to be able to pay attention to you. And I guess it would be difficult, though, to combine the two pastimes or the two professions, because the blues can get sometimes get kind of raunchy.
Yeah, especially for that time period. You know, it was the recordings on what they called the race records were definitely they allowed a lot more than what you would hear from the Tin Pan Alley stuff.
And so, how far out do you get of your subject matter?
Oh, you know, I do a lot of the traditional stuff. I try not to be too, you know, it's all double entendre, you know, and so it's all kind of obvious, but not
explicit.
Right.
It's explicit,
right.
But not explicit.
Right.
You have to have an imagination.
Yeah.
Of sorts. Yeah. Well, let's hear a sample.
Okay. Well, I'm going to do one. This is a song I recorded. My favorite, probably blues guitar player from the 20s was Charlie Patton, early Mississippi guitar player from Dockery's Plantation down by Clarksdale, Mississippi. I've been going down there a lot to play and got to visit what's left of the plantation. And so this is one I recorded called Love My Stuff. This is one of his recordings from about 1929, I think.
Reverend Robert, live on Live and Local on FM 90.9.
Well, I love my stuff, baby. Love to get high. Well, I love my stuff, baby. Love to get it high. My ride's got some way to shimmy now. Lord, it just won't stop. Well, you know I like it hot, baby. Sure don't like it cold. Well, you know I like it hot, baby. Sure don't like it cold. Well, it would break my heart if you couldn't use me no more. I keep telling my rider now, baby, won't you please shimmy down? Well, I keep telling my rider now, baby, won't you please shimmy down? With that jelly old strut maker, monkey may leave his town. I'm gonna leave Mississippi, baby, before it gets too late. I'm gonna leave Mississippi, baby, before it gets too late. Maybe like 27 high water, Lord, it just won't wait. Well, you know I had an ocean, baby, I believe I will. Well, you know I had an ocean, baby, I believe I will. I'm on a boat across the river now, stop and dig old hill.
That was Bobby Reynolds, known as Reverend Robert. And tell us the name of that song again.
That was called Love My Stuff.
And who originally played?
That was a Charlie Patton song, who was one of the earliest recorded blues musicians. He started recording in 1926. He was from Mississippi. And at that point, he was already in his 50s. And all interviews about him later on said that you know, these were the songs that he had been playing since he was young. So So just one of the earliest sources of what blues probably sounded like, you know, in the beginnings, at least in the Mississippi area.
And when did you start gathering knowledge about blues and learning to play yourself?
Well, I started off, I don't know, probably like a lot of people, I started off when I started playing guitar, just a lot of classic rock and just found out that a lot of that came from early blues. And so really, really got into the electric blues early on and just kept working my way back. And honestly, now I'm more of an era person, I think, than just a blues person. It's that pre-World War II era when music was acoustic, which I like, just the tones and things, but it was when acoustic music was dance music. So there's just a lot more rhythm to it.
Although I can't imagine, well, maybe I can imagine sort of at least wiggling around to that tune you just sang. I wouldn't think of it as a dance tune. Would people necessarily have danced to it, or just the rhythmic influence was there?
No, mostly that's all it would have been. A lot of times they would, and I've had a lot of fun with that. Still, a lot of times when I play down south, I'll get a lot of people that'll dance, and a lot of times they'll expect you to keep a song going like that for a long, long time. And that's where, you know, a lot of the lyrics from early blues, people think of them as some of them is just generic, because you'll hear the same verse in so many different songs. But I think they just had basically a memory of probably thousands of verses. And when they got playing a song like that and people were dancing, they just keep throwing them out there.
So if you have to keep one of these songs going, you just sort of search your memory banks and
pull out something else.
that might actually have come from another song, but as long as it fits.
Sure, sure. Then... Or just sing some of them over again, you know. So so I think that's one thing that the early recordings on 78s were, you know, they had to be a certain length. I don't think they could get past about 3.5 minutes. So, you know, then when they went in to record those, they had to shorten those songs up to fit on.
Well, it's like if you go out and hear a live jazz band that you've heard on recording, chances are the live performance of a tune is going to be a lot longer than what you heard on the record. Probably not exclusively for the same reason, because people aren't limited anymore to length, but I guess they want to get a lot of songs on their CD.
Right.
Speaking
right.
of, you have a CD, I guess called appropriately enough, for the Reverend, Preaching Blues.
Yes.
Do you do any preaching in your songs, or is that just...
No, that is actually the title of a song that I do on there, which is a Son House song. And he's another early Mississippi guy that I was talking about that struggled with always going back and forth between being a preacher, and then he would give that up to play music, and then he would feel like he should repent, and he would go back to preaching, and back and forth. And so that's a song he wrote, and I just, it's a song I'd always performed, and I just thought it made for an appropriate title.
Do you want to do it for us today?
I will, yeah. Let me, I'm going to have to retune just a little bit here.
Okay. We'll let you do that. Meanwhile, I'm going to mention something here, might as well, that our broadcast on FM 90.9 is made possible with support from the Sousa Archives and Center for American Music, breathing life into the history of our nation's musical past through exhibits, guided tours, and performances at the University of Illinois. More information is available, and visits can be scheduled at 217-244-9309. And we're talking with Reverend Robert, Bobby Reynolds, whose upcoming gigs include one in Centralia, if you want to hear him is it Bogies on the Lake?
Bogies on the Lake, yeah.
On Wednesday, that's tomorrow night, at 7 o'clock. He's going to be in St. Louis on Saturday at Blues City Deli, if you want to travel down there, at 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon. And then he's going to be in the Decatur Club a week from today, and we don't have a time on that. But you can probably check the Decatur Blues Society website and find that out. In fact, Bobby doesn't quite know when he's going to be playing, so hopefully they'll tell him sometime
soon. Some information on that. What that is going to be a fundraiser. They have the IBC is the Blues Foundation puts that on every year.
And what does that stand for?
The International Blues Challenge, and it's basically an international contest that takes place in Memphis, and locally, blues societies such as the one in Decatur will put on a contest more locally, and then send somebody to represent them. And I'm going to be taking part in that. They send a band, and then they send a solo or duo artist to represent them. And so what that is Tuesday is a fundraiser, because they try to help with the expenses of going down there and staying for a week and playing. So I'll be playing on Beale Street for a week down there.
That's fantastic.
For the IBC. So that's what that is. So the time is they should have listed on their site somewhere, Decatur Blues Society.
Okay. Well, we'll be checking it out. And meanwhile, preaching blues.
All right.
That sounds like a stubborn instrument this morning. Is it difficult to keep in tune?
No, just going from one tuning to another.
Okay,
yeah.
Nice.
Plus, they're just getting back up to warm, room temperature.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've been out in the car for driving up from Charleston for a while.
I'm going to get my religion. I'm gonna join the Baptist church. I'm gonna get my religion. I'm gonna join the Baptist church. I'm gonna be a Baptist preacher so I don't have to work. Well, I wish I had me heaven of my own. Well, I wish I had me heaven of my own. Well, I'd give all my good women one long happy home. Well, when Deacon looked around, he began to grin. Well, when Deacon looked around, he began said, you know one thing, elders, I believe I'll go back to Barrel House again. Well, I grabbed my suitcase to go down that road. Well, I grabbed my suitcase to go down that road. I said, farewell, farewell, church. May the good Lord bless your soul.
Reverend Robert, Preaching Blues, which is also a Son House tune, and the title of his latest CD, which you can find on what website?
RevRobert.com. And that also, Kevin, has a schedule. I know you looked on there, mm-hmm. and so you can keep up with where I'm going to be and things if you go on there, RevRobert.com.
And I'll bet you people can book you to play places as
yes,
well.
All the information's on there for booking.
And among the pieces of information you can find is about you biographically, including that you've worked in some other styles, including ragtime, early jazz, Hawaiian, and Caribbean.
Yes, yeah. Again, what I really love is just that time period. And so I've been playing a lot of Hawaiian lately, and I do some old Calypso songs.
Now, what's the time period, meaning pre-World War II, how do those two fit into that time period? I wouldn't have thought about that, really.
Well, one is, it's part of it is just when the recording industry really started in the 20s. So then they started to go all over the world and record different music. So so you just have early recordings in the 20s and 30s, and especially in the 20s, because things were so regional then. It was before like now, if I want to learn a song, I just buy the recording and listen to it. Well, then, you know, no one could do that. So by the 30s and 40s, you already had people listening to each other, and it's like Hawaiian musicians were playing old jazz songs and blues and things like that. So there's just an interesting mix right there. But I think a big common thread again for me is just the acoustic instruments and the rhythm. And part of it also is the instruments I play. I play these national guitars that were made in the late 20s. And there's a common thread. The very first one, the prototype, was made for Hawaiian musician. So there's, you know, a lot of the Hawaiian musicians from those recordings are using national guitars. A lot of the blues musicians used them because of the look of them and the volume. And they really thought that a lot of early jazz players would use them because it could keep up with the horn sections and things like that. But for whatever reason, they never quite caught on with the jazz musicians as much. I mean, there's a couple of them. But
I was going to ask you about the instruments because, you know, I don't know a lot about the different guitar types and guitar sounds and why they're made of what they're made of. But these are all metal-bodied instruments.
Yeah, the one that I've played the last two songs on is called a tricone, and then I have a what they call a stylo, is one large cone, which is usually what people picture with a resonator instrument.
A cone. What is the cone?
Yeah, there's a cone on the inside of it. Basically looks like a speaker cone.
Is that kind of in place of a sound post?
Yeah, it sits there, and then what happens, the strings have a lot of tension against that, and then when you strum them, you know, that's what resonates and gives it a lot of the volume. And it's actually, which was tremendous technology for the time, it's aluminum spun down to about a thousandth of an inch. And that's what projects a lot of the sound. The tricone is just three small cones, and that was the original design. And then I have the ukulele here also, which is just one small cone.
Is that why they're sometimes called resonator guitars?
Yeah, that's the general term.
The one you've just been playing, it looks like it's made of copper.
Yeah, they're actually all brass. The two of them are nickel plated. That one has just a kind of a brushed finish on it that gives it that copper look.
That's beautiful.
But yeah, they're all made of brass.
What are we gonna hear next?
Well, I'll play a Caribbean song for you.
And this is on the larger brushed. This is
what they call a
style
O. Yeah, nickel plated, and it has the single larger cone. A little bit louder, if you can imagine, than the other one. But
well, compared to, you know, you were talking about your affinity for acoustic sound, and I found it difficult to find acoustic blues musicians these days. It seems like electric is a lot more common. So compared to the electric, you know, amplified sound of an electric instrument, you're not so loud.
No. They're definitely louder, but it's not just the volume of them. They actually, I think, have a greater dynamic range than obviously a solid body electric guitar, but even most wood body acoustics. I mean, the difference from just quiet to loud, you know, is just, you know, it can be very quiet and mellow, but then it can be, you know, it can really project a loud sound, and there's just a huge difference, you know. So they're just very dynamic. And that's one of the things that makes them a lot of fun to play.
It's Bobby Reynolds, the Reverend Robert, here on Live and Local. What are we going to hear next?
Well, this one, kind of a funny history to this song, just because I don't know much about it, and people always try to fill me in on it that have come across it before. This is called by Mirabis Duchesne, and it's an old Calypso song. The recording I have is from the 30s by a group called Felix and His Crazy Cats.
No, I always thought of that as a Yiddish song,
and that's one of the interesting things is I've had people that know that as that, and I've also heard that like I think it was the Andrews Sisters have a version of this song, like a swing version, which I've never heard, but I was told they did this also. So I'm constantly coming across people who have heard this before in other contexts, but the only time I've heard it is this old Calypso version. So it's kind of interesting again how these songs traveled around.
So for all you know, all this stuff, all this information together could just be, you know, kind of made up and makes for good stories.
Sure.
Why not, right? Tell a story if it's a good one.
Yeah.
Reverend Robert on Live and Local. Thank you.
by Mavis Duchesne. Please let me explain. By Mavis Duchesne means he white grain. By Mavis Duchesne, again I'll explain. It means of the fairest in the land. If I could say Belle, La Belle, I'll even say wonderful. Each language helps me tell you how grand you are. I try to explain by Mavis Duchesne. So kiss me and say you'll understand. If I could say Belle, La Belle, I'll even say wonderful. Each language helps me tell you how grand you are. I try to explain by Mavis Duchesne. So kiss me and say you'll understand.
I'm pretty sure I haven't heard that song done that way. It sounds great. Reverend Robert by Mavis Duchesne here on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I just took my headphones off just to listen to that song because, you know, our sound guy, Mike Pritchard, has things kind of equalized here. And I wanted to hear, well, just how loud is this instrument? And it seems a lot louder when I took them off. So I was able to hear the projection a little bit that way. But unfortunately, I can't invite people into the studio with us right now. But this is the next best thing, of course, here in Reverend Robert Live in our Studio F on Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and he's got a number of gigs coming up, some of which you'd have to travel for. Centralia, not too far outside of our listening area. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, Bogies on the Lake. And then St. Louis on Saturday afternoon. He'll be playing at the Decatur Club in Decatur a week from tonight, a benefit performance. Time still to be announced as he heads off to the International Blues
Challenge
in Memphis.
It's all takes place on Beale Street, and it's by last year's numbers, I think there were about 120 bands from all over the world and about 80 or 90 solo duo acts. And it's a contest that lasts like three rounds. It takes 4 or 5 days.
So how do you get picked to go down there?
Well, they have a blues society or something like that that belongs to the Blues Foundation. Gets to send somebody to represent them.
So
most
they
of
choose,
those blues societies, yes. And they most of them, what they do is have a more local or regional contest and then choose who they want.
So was there a contest?
Yeah, there was a contest in Decatur. I think it was in October. It's been a little while back.
And you apparently won.
Yeah.
And then what happens? What are the prizes if you win, or what are the rewards if you win at the challenge?
I've not looked real close. I know there's some cash. There's a lot of blues festivals all over that just basically have slots open for the winner. But honestly, I'm kind of treating it more like a showcase. I'm going down there just to play. I mean, there's a lot of people to play in front of, and it's kind of one of those things that you play in front of the right people and they like what you're doing. They don't really care whether you win or not.
they might pick you up for gigs or for even recording contracts possibly?
Right, yeah, lots of different things. And just the Blues Society representatives from all over, not just the country, but all over the world are there. And so just the contacts that you can make at something like that is worth, I think, probably more than the prizes. Really,
I saw that. Speaking of prizes, though, I saw that you actually took first place in 2004 at the National Slide Guitar Festival in North Carolina. Tell me about that.
Yeah, that was it was in Brevard, North Carolina, right outside of there. And a beautiful festival. The first year they had it, it was actually sponsored by National Guitars, and is why they called it the National Guitar Festival. But they put a lot of money into a lot of the endorsees of National, and a lot of great musicians were there. And I think it didn't do well enough for National to continue with it. So he just made it basically a slide guitar festival in general, and a great crowd and a beautiful venue just on the side of you know, on the side of a mountain. Basically the stage was set up there, and it was really nice. It was a nice gig, real nice gig. And so, yeah, they had the contest. I ended up playing a set also, and then I did the contest, and part of winning that was getting a set that night. So I ended up playing three times that day and just in front of a great crowd. So.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. What's the difference between a slide guitar and what you're playing now? Or are you playing slide guitars and it's just how you play it?
Yeah, it's just how you play it. So when I have the bottleneck on my finger on the other guitar for those couple songs, that's slide. It's just
this is where a video would be helpful. And as a matter of fact, we're actually videotaping this show today. So some of this will go up on our website. So maybe we can make sure that this demonstration you're about to show us will be on the video. I'll have to talk to our folks later.
Fine-tune that a little more.
Slightly fine, yeah.
Yeah, the slide, like, I use a cutoff wine bottleneck. But you can use about anything, you know, that you can fit on your finger. I know guys that use sockets and things, but I prefer the sound of the glass. But, yeah, what you do is just you run that across the string. Instead of fretting the notes on the guitar.
With your fingers.
You would use that slide and
although there you just use your fingers to do the slide, didn't you? Or were you using the bottleneck on the slide?
The bottleneck, yep. Now I put my fingers down behind the bottleneck.
Okay.
And that's just to keep it quiet, because otherwise you get all this sound from the other side that doesn't sound so.
So the bottleneck is just touching the string.
Yeah, not even really pushing it down. You don't want it to. It just kind of, it's like a movable fret.
Hmm.
And so you can get, you know, instead of a vibrato that can only go higher and then back to the starting spot, you can get a lot wider vibrato, a lot more expressive sound. So if you're doing notes like, you can just get a lot more of a vocal-like quality.
I think I need to get behind you to see exactly what that bottleneck is doing, because I can't tell from my vantage point here.
And it's, you know, and it's kind of a fascinating thing that I've gotten into playing these and playing bottleneck, and I do some lap style too with the Hawaiian stuff, is that the Hawaiians play slide, even though they're doing it lap style. You know, blues musicians started doing it, and now, you know, they know that a lot of Indian musicians, a lot of Indian music. Some of my favorite guitar players are playing a lot of traditional Indian music.
No kidding.
And playing lap style slide, and it works out perfect for their music. And it's just really, really, really amazing stuff. And it's just kind of a mix of, as far as the history shows, they were all kind of coming up with this idea around the same time. So, you know, they're just not sure where it started, or if it just kind of happened all, you know, in different areas around the same time.
You can probably find different people to claim originality for their style of music, you know, with this type of instrument.
Well, and the Talmoy family was just this amazing story for, oh, I don't even know how many years, about 50 years. You know, they were from Hawaii, but they didn't have a home. And the whole family had a band, and that's all they did was travel all over the world and never even really had a home to come back to, because they were just gone all the time performing. And they went to India and played for a long time. So there's always this idea that they were the ones that introduced that idea in India of slide guitar players. But, you know, never know for sure whether it was introduced to them or if just somebody discovered it the same way, you know, in two different areas.
We're talking with Reverend Robert here on Live and Local, Bobby Reynolds. And he is live in our studio with us. I'm Kevin Kelly. Pleased to be back after a couple weeks or so off. And do you need to switch instruments for the next tune?
Well, I'm going to use this one. I picked this one back up. I'm going to do a slide tune. And this is one of, I did this in an old gospel song or what I played there in North Carolina. And I'm still convinced one of the things that that helped me win that was a lot of people just played played some really, really amazing stuff, but just kind of some almost random stuff. And I just got up and played a couple songs. I think more than probably the musicianship, I think it was just a little more musical maybe. And so here's an old, this is an old Mississippi song by a guy named Bucca White. And this is one of them that I played there, so.
Oh, you women love to do the jitterbug swing. Oh, you women love to do the jitterbug swing. Do that jitterbug, know you're gonna be doing that thing. Hey, you women, Lord, you're working on my nerve. Lord, you're working on my nerve. Every time I ask you, you won't let me follow you home. Must have some other brother lying in your arms.
Jitterbug Swing, is that what it's called?
Yep, Jitterbug Swing. Bucca's Jitterbug Swing was the name of it. And Bucca White recorded
Bucca White, B-U-K-K-A. I was going to ask you how you said that. I saw him mentioned as one of your influences. Who do you think are some of the – who are some of the folks playing now that you especially admire, this style of music?
Well, there's a lot of them. He's been around a long time, but I was lucky enough in October I played at the King Biscuit Blues Festival down in Helena, Arkansas, and it was the 25th anniversary, so they had B.B. King played and Dr. John and Taj Mahal. Taj Mahal is one of my favorites, definitely, for the acoustic music, but I got lucky enough. I got to play right before John Hammond down there, and it was great just to be able to meet him and talk with him and sit up there and watch his set from the side of the stage there, and he's one of them I've liked a lot. There's a gentleman that I've gotten to see only a couple times. He's not in the States much, but I got to see him at Krannert a couple years ago, Bob Brosman, and he was a huge influence in getting nationals being made again. He's a big advocate for the company and into all the same. It was so funny because all the different music I was into, the Hawaiian and blues, early jazz, things like that, I was really trying to struggle and learning these different styles and trying to figure out how to put them all together. And the first time I seen him, that's exactly what he did. So, you know, that was it was kind of eye-opening to watch him. So he's been a real huge influence.
Have you had any of these guys that you've had a chance to play with or before or after come up to you and say nice things about your playing?
You know, a few times I've been over the last couple years, I've gotten to do a lot of the festivals in the South, and there's been a lot of, especially down in Clarksdale, Mississippi. I go down there. I'll be back down there in March and in April, and especially in April, there's a festival down there called the Juke Joint Fest, and there's so many of these great places or players. You know, Jimmy Duck Holmes and Honey Boy Edwards, who's one of the last guys left. I mean, he played with Robert Johnson.
He's up in Chicago?
And yeah, I think that's where he's out of now. And he's originally from down there. And so he comes back every year for that. And so I've gotten to sit with him and play. And he's played here in Champaign, I know, several times.
Yeah, we tried to get him on the show at one point, and I don't remember what happened. That didn't actually work out. That's what happened. It didn't actually work out, at least to be on the show. But maybe sometime it'll work out. I think he just didn't get, he didn't leave town early enough because you got to work it out coming from Chicago to be able to be on our live show here. But maybe another time. But we're really delighted to have you on the show here today. Reverend Robert Bobby Reynolds is with us, and we got another 15 minutes or so. I want to take a slight break, and maybe if you're going to switch instruments, go ahead and do that, because I'm going to mention some other live things you can go see and hear in our area. If you're happening to be in Springfield right now, or will be in the next 45 minutes, there's an afternoon lecture series on music history with Richard Haglund at the Hoagland Center for the Arts. That's at 1:30 today. And we hope actually to be talking with Richard at some point about that series. He also, I know, conducts the Sangamon Valley Youth Symphony Orchestras and the community orchestra there, and I think is still assistant conductor of the Illinois Symphony in Springfield, or associate conductor, or whatever his title may be. So that's today at 1:30. There's a Celtic music session with Patty's Bargain at Celtic Mist Pub in Springfield. That's tonight at 7 o'clock. The Tuesday night Troubadours play bluegrass and country music at the Rose Bowl Tavern in downtown Urbana. That's tonight at 9 o'clock. Are you playing tonight in Charleston?
No, I'm not.
That's not happening. Okay, because I'm glad I asked you, because I was just going to mention that here.
I do the first and third Tuesday of the month at Jackson Avenue Coffee. It's right close to my house. But I won't for the next two because of the gig in Decatur next week, and then I'll be down in Memphis that first Tuesday.
Which is a reminder to check out his website. It's revrobert.com. .com, and the schedule's up there. Let's see. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, Donnie Heitler does his weekly jazz gig playing a solo piano at the Great Impasta in Urbana. There's the weekly live Irish music session, a traditional Irish music session at Bentley's Pub downtown Champaign. That's at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And Caleb Cook has his weekly gig at the Rose Bowl Tavern in Urbana tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. And I'm sure there's plenty of other things going on, but I invite you to let us know about them. You can write to us at willcalendar@illinois.edu. That's W-I-L-L calendar at illinois.edu. And we'll try to get it on our calendar and maybe even on our show. What's next?
All right. Well, I can't leave without playing this. This is my newest instrument. I was lucky enough, I got to go twice this year and play in England. And the first time I went in June, I treated myself when I got back with this, my newest purchase. It's a National ukulele.
It seems especially small. Is that smaller than usual, or
it's a soprano size. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of them this size, but yeah, there's also a lot of the standards and baritones that are a bigger body.
I guess I didn't know there were different sizes and ranges of ukulele. It's just among the many things I don't know that I learn about here in Live and Local, and we hope you do too, our listening audience. So what's the tune?
Well, I'm going to do one. This is just kind of an old, what they called hokum music. A lot of the old blues guys and stuff, they played played some old kind of nonsense stuff and a lot of what was risque at the time and things. And this is an old one that that Tampa Red did. And his his co-musician was Georgia Tom, who was Georgia Tom Dorsey, who later on wrote a lot of famous gospel songs. Peace in the Valley, I think he wrote.
Not to be confused with the jazz man, the swing man, Tommy Dorsey.
Right. But yeah, another example of a guy that did a lot of this stuff when he was younger, and then did the gospel things later. But this is one called "Giving It Away." That was not originally done on a ukulele, but it works. So.
Why not?
Yeah. I know a boy, his name is Bill. Ain't got nothing but a whiskey still. Ain't got whiskey, so they say. Out there giving everything away. He's giving it away. Lord, he's giving it away.
And Sue got a bakery back of the jail. Sign on the walls, a jelly roll for sale. Ain't got jelly, so they say. Out there giving everything away. She's giving it away. Lord, she's giving it away. I got a gal, she called me honey. She work hard and bring me all the money. Now she working, but she don't get paid. Out there giving everything away. She's giving it away. Well, she's giving it away.
Hokum music, Hokum blues, or just Hokum? What do you?
Yeah, just Hokum music. This is what they call. Actually, for a while, Tampa Red, his group, they called them the Hokum Boys, and they just did a lot of things like that. As opposed to, I suppose, what people call more the deep traditional blues. It was just supposed to be, I guess, a little more fun, but
just somewhat silly. But
yeah.
But then so many songs, do they have a profound meaning? Maybe, maybe not.
Well, again, I think people forget sometimes, really, that this stuff was originally dance music. And so a lot of times, I don't think they put as much thought into the lyrics as people have afterwards.
Well, it's just an excuse to get your feet tapping and your body moving and so on.
Right.
What do you do when you're not playing music?
That's it.
That's it? And you get by?
Barely. Barely. This time of year is always tough.
Spend a lot of time in your car?
Yeah. A lot of time driving more flying this year, which is good. This year coming up, I'm going to be down south a lot, Mississippi, Arkansas, Tennessee, things. I'm going back to England in June, Italy in July, and Ireland in September. So getting the... doing a lot more traveling the last year or two than I have in the past.
Which I assume means things are looking up if you can afford to fly, for one thing, and then if you're getting all these invitations to go various places.
It's going well, and part of what's allowed that is doing a solo act. I can afford to fly, but, it's a lot easier. I can't imagine trying to do that with a five-piece band.
Well, is that partly because it's harder for a vendor to, or a venue to hire a band? A little more expensive for them, and it's easier for them to pick you up?
Yeah, I think, there's definitely an expense difference. And one thing that I've found is just the Europeans, I know when I've been over in England the two times this year, they really, really love our roots music. And one of the things that I tell people when I got back is a lot of what they have village halls and then the pubs. And things, and so there's a younger crowd that comes in, like high school age, will come in a lot of times to hear the music, and eat dinner, and I was shocked how many high school age kids over there knew the words to the old jazz songs. Mm. If I was playing Ain't Misbehavin' or something, that they would all be singing along. And
in English accents or not?
Of course.
Yeah. How does that compare to the average crowd you get over here?
It just depends on the venue. They were at the pubs there. It was about a perfect mix of they were real attentive, but they were still having a lot of fun, So it was just a nice mix of that. It was great. And part of it is the venues over there, the pubs and things are just smaller and they're just a lot more intimate and, they're just great settings for the acoustic music. A lot of my played out, I can't imagine a whole band.
Well, I'm thinking also, age range. You mentioned high school kids coming to hear you there. Do you get much of that when you play in the States?
A little bit. At some of like the coffee shops, and of course at the festivals. I mean, there's nothing better than a good blues festival over here. I mean, those, the King Biscuit was, one of the best gigs I've ever had. And like I said, I think it helped to play before John Hammond.
Well, of course.
So there were people there waiting to hear him that had to sit through me for a half hour. But
they got to sit through you. They got to sit through you. It was an opportunity for them. Yeah. Well, that sounds exciting, and I'm glad things are going well for you. Reverend Robert's going to be at the Decatur Club in Decatur next week, next Tuesday, Time to be determined. Check out his website, which is revrobert.com. The calendar's on there. That's not up there yet, waiting to hear the time. But also you can check out the Decatur Blues Society. Is that the name of the site? Do you know where they're from? Well, you can just Google it, I guess. And you
yeah,
can find
Decatur
it.
Blues Society. That I can't remember the web address, and I should know that.
Well, it's easy to find. That's all
yeah,
I found.
Yeah, yeah. If you look up Decatur Blues Society. Yeah, and definitely, especially, I think that's the closest blues society to the Champaign-Urbana area right now, so it's definitely worth checking out anyway. They're new, probably just a little more than a year old, and they've really worked hard doing a lot of things.
And if you want to drive to Centralia, he's going to be there tomorrow night at Bogies on the Lake. That's at 7 o'clock. And even if you want to go to St. Louis on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock at the Blues City Deli. Our broadcast on Live and Local is made possible today with support from the Corkscrews Bouvon Wine Bar, 203 North Vine, Urbana, with a full list of wines from around the world by the glass and by the bottle. Wine tastings are held every Saturday from noon to 4. Information is at 217-337-7704 or on Facebook at Bouvon Wine Bar. That's B-U-V-O-N-S Wine Bar. And coming up on FM 90.9 at 101, we have the Writer's Almanac with Garrison Keillor. And for those of you listening on 101, I'm not sure I said that right. 90.9 at 101, it's Garrison Keillor's Writer's Almanac. At 101 on 101.1, classical music at 101. I'm getting myself really quite confused. No matter where you are, you're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL-FM, and HD1 and HD2 Urbana, with translators W266AF Urbana and W293AF Danville. WILL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois. And I'll just take a moment to say that with some of the changes in the political climate, we encourage you to check out the website 170millionamericans.com and find out how you can let our legislators know how important public radio is to you. It's probably under its greatest threat in at least 20 years right now for financing, and we encourage you to check out that website. I promise they won't actually ask you for money. They'll just suggest how you can help advocate on behalf of your love of public radio and what goes on here on Illinois Public Media. 170millionamericans. Actually, I think it's .org. Bobby Reynolds, Reverend Robert, we really appreciate you joining us on the show.
All right. Well, thanks for having me, Kevin. And I'm sorry, I wanted to clarify, though. I said something earlier about Decatur's Blues Society being the closest one in here. I did meet a gentleman a while back that said, I think there is a new Blues Society here in Champaign-Urbana again.
Well, I need to find out about it.
So, yeah, I did meet somebody who said he was, I think, the president of it.
You remember who it was?
I think his first name was Rich.
Well, but that narrows it down.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see if we can find out. What do you want to take us out on?
Pick
an instrument. You got three of you. Three of them.
Yeah, I'll do another bottleneck song here. This is an old blues song. It goes back to Tampa Red also, and this has just been a standard that everybody's done. Everybody's done since then. This is called Sweet Little Angel. Got a sweet little angel, I love the way she spread her wings. Got a sweet little angel, I love the way she spread her wings. When she spread them over me, Lord, she brings joy in everything. My angel for a nickel, Lord, she gave me a $10 bill. Ask my angel for a nickel, Lord, she gave me a $10 bill.
asked her for a shot of liquor. You know, she gave me a whiskey still. I love my sweet angel. I want her all by myself. I love my sweet angel. I want her all by myself. I can't stand to see her spread her wings over nobody else.